재미와 지식의 오디오 라이프. 팟빵!
Every Sunday, we start the show with hot new releases. Joining us today is Shera Cho. Shera has participated in various freelance translation projects. Good morning, Shera.
Morning, Jamie.
March has arrived. The new semester has begun.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. So you have prepared a Shera Cho book list for the newly matriculated college freshmen.
Well, as a book fanatic, I've compiled a few book recommendations for freshmen just in time for the new school year here in Korea.
Mm-hmm. So let's see it.
So number one on my list, we have The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Mm-hmm.
The Great Gatsby is a 1925 novel written by the legendary American author F. Scott Fitzgerald. The story is set in the Roaring Twenties, and it sheds light on the social upheaval and decline of morals during the Jazz Age.
Mm-hmm.
So the author manages to bring themes of idealism through heavy symbolism and the characters in the novel.
Mm-hmm. Of course, this book is a wonderful classic that many of us are familiar with, but can you give us a quick review of the main characters?
Sure. So Jay Gatsby, the main character whom the book is actually named after,
mm-hmm.
Is the symbol of the American dream. Now, the story revolves around his pursuit of Daisy, a beautiful and shallow social butterfly.
That's a great way to put it.
So the plot is actually a story filled with hope and deception,
uh-huh.
which eventually leads to the disillusionment of the joy of the 1920s.
Mm-hmm. And it was surprisingly not very popular when it first came out.
Right, I was actually very surprised too.
Mm-hmm.
Although it initially did not face commercial success, The Great Gatsby was highly praised by contemporaries of the age, such as T.S. Eliot, Edith Wharton, and Willa Cather.
Mm-hmm.
But by 1960, the book was a huge hit and was coined as a classic of the 20th century American fiction.
Mm. And number two on the Shera Cho list is a Margaret Atwood title.
Right, and it's The Edible Woman by Margaret Atwood. And this is personally my strongest recommendation
uh-huh.
because it is by far my most favorite piece of literature.
Oh, interesting.
So The Edible Woman is a 1969 novel written by Margaret Atwood, and it's a work that established her as a prose writer of major significance.
Can you tell us about the book?
Well, the book is about Marion, who seemingly lives a satisfying life. However, following her engagement to the perfect fiancé, Marion finds her body and herself become separated.
Mm.
So she finds herself repelled by the metaphorical cannibalism, and her disgust for the consumer-oriented world is illustrated through her unexpected anorexia.
Mm. That kind of reminds me somewhat of The Vegetarian by Han Gang.
Right. I was actually taken aback by the uncanny correlation between the two
right,
books.
Right.
So the book centers around Marion's loss of identity and the battle of her two selves, one that struggles to keep true to herself while the other strives to stick to the ideal image that society requires of woman her age.
Mm-hmm.
So the characters in the book allow readers to explore gender stereotypes, and the book is a huge shout out to all feminists out there.
Mm-hmm. So number three, like when I saw number three, I have to say, mm-hmm. I think you and I have similar taste
really?
In literature. Yeah, yeah, because the next one is one of my favorites too.
That's great. It's Antigone by Jean Anouilh, and Antigone is a tragedy written by Jean Anouilh, inspired by the play of the same name created by Sophocles. So whether you read the version by Jean Anouilh or Sophocles, the plot allows readers and the audience to reflect on our own ideals and choices.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Antigone is a wonderful, wonderful story, but tell us about Antigone and what happens
sure.
to her.
So she's actually the princess of Thebes, and her two brothers, who lead opposite sides in the civil war, die. But one of them is honored and the other is publicly shamed, his body to lie unburied. And Antigone strongly believes that this goes against the rules of heaven and takes matters into her own hand.
Mm-hmm.
So she illegally performs burial rites for her brother, thus fulfilling her familial duty.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike her docile and beautiful sister Ismene, Antigone fights to protect her ideals. And although given a choice, she chooses her ideals over her life.
Mm-hmm. And I think the plot of Antigone and the things that she struggles with are surprisingly relevant even than today.
Especially in the current political conditions in Korea. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So Antigone eventually deals with the question of moral duties and the right or wrong. And it makes us question which ideals we need to place at the top. And it challenges our bravery, whether we will be able to abandon everything to protect our beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you are a big fan of Antigone like me and Shara, poet Anne Carson has also published her own version / translation of Antigone that is also well worth checking out. So next on the list is a couple of Korean books.
Right. So the 한국출판문화산업진흥원, the Publication Industry Promotion Agency of Korea, also recommended a few Korean books for freshman students. So one book is 그 많던 시간은 누가 다 먹었을까? Translated into English under the title Who Ate Up All the 싱아? Written by author Park Wan-sol.
And this is another classic book. Tell us about this memoir.
Well, it's a book that portrays the painful past of our country. The protagonist is born during Japan's rule of Korea and faces independences during middle school. Mm-hmm. And as a university student, she suffers through the Korean War. So the book is a personal portrayal of the chaos that was prominent at the country during that time of social upheaval.
And there's also a Lee Chung-jun title on the list.
That's right. Another book is 당신들의 천국, Your Heaven, written by Lee Chung-jun. And the story is set in Sorokdo, a place for people affected by leprosy. The book actually revolves around a conflict between a doctor and a chief of the health and welfare organization. Mm-hmm. And the characters and the relationships in the book is a critical appraisal of social values that limit our political freedom.
So many of the books from the time of Lee Chung-jun and Park Wan-sol were about making tough political ethical decisions with lasting consequences, and much like Antigone, they kind of still ring true today. Maybe that's why they're called classics.
That's true. I think there's a lot we can learn and reflect from past literature.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, let's take a song break. Here's Toto, Africa. Shara has brought in some updates on book formats and different ways of consuming books. Shara?
Well, that's right, Jamie. The publishing industry need not only focus on paper publishing anymore. With the rise of technology and young users relying heavily on handheld devices, it is important to expand and invest in digital forms of literature, ebooks, and audiobooks.
And I think the great thing about these different formats is that you can access books anytime, anywhere. Even if it suddenly like pops up in your head, you're like, oh, I feel like reading that book. You can just find it on your phone. It's so easy. Well, let's start with ebooks.
Well, ebooks, like its name suggests, is the electronic format of the paper books. Mostly in formats such as PDF, EPUB, or Mobi, it can be read through your typical computer screen.
And there's several ways of reading ebooks, right?
Right. There are also smartphone applications that you can download in your phone. And there are also specific devices that have been designed for this purpose, and they're called e-readers. So they're designed to be light, portable, and compact. Most e-readers do not use LED light on their screens, thus allowing you to read without visual impairments, just like an actual book.
Do you have a preference?
Well, I myself have used an e-reader for 8 years, and I strongly recommend e-books to all book fanatics out there. Like you said, these are really accessible, and they save a lot of shelf space, are more cost efficient, and it's easier to look up difficult vocabularies because most e-readers actually sync to the dictionary in them. So once you click on a word that you don't know, it automatically searches the definition for you. And this was a huge plus for me because I used to skip over words I didn't understand, only guessing what it meant based on the context. But the only downside is that it became an annoying habit, and now it drives me crazy when I come across a new word while I'm reading.
You can't just skip over it anymore. You just have to know what that word means.
Exactly.
Right.
So this habit probably doubled my reading time.
So even when you're reading, a hard copy, just like, do you actually look it up in the dictionary?
I do. Right now, I didn't used to, but now I do because of this annoying habit.
Okay.
So ebooks have a few disadvantages as well, because purchasing an e-reader can be a financial burden at first, although they save money in the long run. Mm-hmm. Also, some e-readers are not robust, and I myself had to deal with a broken device, and fixing it can be a chore. Mm-hmm. Moreover, some books are not available in the electronic format, and many readers claim that reading off a screen simply doesn't have the same feel as reading off a good old paperback.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say I'm torn between ebooks and hard copies. I mean, it's easier to buy the former. Like I said earlier, if like mm-hmm. something pops up in my head, I can just go online and buy the book very right. easily. And it's easier to do word searches, but I can never remember to charge my reader. So like when I feel like reading a book, I pick up my reader and it's out of juice. So, yeah. And also, many of the academic books that I want are not available in ebook format.
Mm, that's true. Well, then maybe you should give audiobooks a try, mm-hmm. Because an alternative can be audiobooks in which somebody actually reads their words out for you. Mm-hmm. And they're good to listen while your hands are not free, like when you're doing the dishes or driving. However, audiobooks can take a longer time, and it does overlap with the reading voice inside your head. Mm-hmm. So I personally feel audiobooks limit our imagination and freedom while reading because somebody else is in control of your reading experience.
Mm-hmm. And the other problem with ebooks is piracy, right? Can you right. tell us a little bit about that?
Well, like all movies and all sorts of media, piracy is a huge issue. But young readers illegally exchange books through SNS channels mm-hmm. and emails and right. even upload them on media sharing platforms. Mm-hmm. And the real problem is that it's difficult to track the flow of these files. So one solution to fix this is watermarks. Mm-hmm. And a watermark detection service allows bounty hunters to track down pirated ebooks. And if a user tries to remove the watermark, the system will automatically cause perceptible damage to the content.
Mm-hmm. So if you're a listener out there thinking about pirating books, there's this thing called watermark.
So right.
You should think twice.
Exactly.
Well, that's it for this week's Hot New Releases. Thank you so much, Shara.
Thank you, Jamie.
Coming up next is Talk It Up with Darcy Paquette and Aurelien Lenné. But first, here's Oasis, Don't Look Back in Anger.